The Legislative Hotline feature for you this morning with 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor. He joins us live on the line from the Capitol in Olympia this morning. And Keith, as always, pleasure. Appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So the budget's kind of the big darling still, and I know we'll focus a lot on that, but we have a couple of other things to talk about today as well. First, let's start off with, why don't you give us an update about where the legislature is at? I know you finished off with another fiscal cutoff earlier in the week. Are there any more deadlines or things that you're looking at as we go down the home stretch now of the sessions for this year?
No, actually, from here on out, it's just dealing with the business that did make it past the cutoffs. We've gone past the policy cutoffs, the fiscal cutoffs. So unless it's necessary to implement the budget, we won't be hearing any more new legislation.
All right, very good. And as far as the budget is concerned, give us an update on where those proceedings are at, because obviously there's a lot of talk of a special session. In fact, last week, Representatives Dent and Ibarra basically came out and said, we will have a special session. They had no doubt about it at all. Where are your thoughts as far as that's concerned, and where are we at in the budgeting process right now?
Well, we do have the three separate budgets, and this is probably one of the few times that I've seen in the 7 years I've been here that we may have an issue with all three of them, because some of them are intertwined, and like the transportation budget from the Senate side was built with some of the money coming from the operating budget, which we've been trying to see for years. But because of the shortfall and the rejection of the proposed taxes by the governor of the Democrats' proposal, I don't know that we will actually get that money coming over the transportation side, so that, you know, will impact then how we reassess what budget we had built. And at this point, it's a pretty small group. There's only the one person representing each caucus that is in the negotiation. So even though I was on the transportation budget cabinet for the Senate, I haven't been directly involved. I'm getting updates, but I really don't know exactly how this is going to all settle out for the transportation side. On the operating side, I just heard yesterday, of course, the Democrats had indicated that there would not be a wealth tax in whatever proposal they come up with. So that's a little bit of news that we have. But they still have indicated that they're, you know, planning to raise revenues through additional taxes. So it really, in my mind, you know, I know that there's discussion about there is probably going to be a special session, but there really is no need since the Democrats are writing the budgets. They have control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's mansion. So it's really in their court to come up with something. And I doubt that it'll be one that we on our side of the aisle will be real supportive of, because we have proposed that we could maintain the size of government and actually make some investments in education and law enforcement and the public employees and not raise any taxes. So there really is a wide spectrum of solutions that could be embraced, but yet I don't see that conversation taking place right now.
Keith, the governor has promised not to sign a budget. In fact, he's already sent budgets back that featured new taxes. And so do you feel like that's something he's eventually going to have to compromise on, or is he, do you see him sticking to his word and sending further budgets back if they're given to him that have those things that he doesn't appreciate?
Well, I do trust that the governor is very sincere in what he has said, what he would and would not support. I have no reason not to trust him because, as I said, he seems very sincere, and I expect that he will, you know, stand firm, because I think he sees the bigger picture that we cannot continue to just keep growing government and see things needing more and more government subsidies. And, you know, the people that are out there working hard and paying their taxes, they are burdened enough. And I think the governor, you know, recognizes that we really are not enjoying a standard of living that we really could have here in the state of Washington, because we have so many revenue generators. And, you know, you want to talk about the wealthy, but those wealthy have built a lot of those companies that have been great boons to the state of Washington, whether it started out back in the days with Boeing or whether it's Microsoft and Amazon and these companies. Yes, they have brought a lot of individual wealth, but they've also provided jobs and tremendous support for the Washington economy. And I think in some ways it has made people think that money is just going to keep flowing. And the more we, you know, restrict their ability to create wealth, the more likely they are to actually pick up stakes and leave the state.
Again, chatting with 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor on this morning's KPQ Legislative Hotline here on the Morning Update. Keith, this might be a bit premature, but I'm curious to ask you now. You're almost a full session into serving under Governor Ferguson, I guess, or having him be the governor when a session takes place. And we may very well have a special session in his first year as governor. But what are your returns so far? What is the difference so far this year between a session under Governor Ferguson and one under Governor Inslee?
Well, I think we have a governor that is engaged. And I think he's very pragmatic. He's trying to find, solutions. As I mentioned, we've got a wide range of options that could be chosen for the direction of the state. And I believe that, you know, Governor Ferguson is, and I want to, you know, trust that he is committed to creating a better Washington. And he's not as idealistic as I think we've seen in the past. He's more, as I said, more practical and pragmatic in what he said and in the direction that I believe he wants to go. So I'm, you know, very optimistic that we can reach some solutions when we have someone in the governor's mansion that is engaged as he is and is willing to take a stand and to, hold firm to what he said. So I think people are beginning to, kind of get a sense of how strong he may be. And I think we'll find out in the next couple of weeks whether, it's been a justified opinion or not.
All right, very good. Keith, let's move on and talk about that rent control bill that you've been talking to us about throughout the sessions. There's some activity going on with it right now. So, again, remind us about this and bring us up to date on what's happening with it.
Well, it's come, this bill is the one that's come from the House. We had it once before in the Senate. It's come over. It does have some changes to it. But it, in essence, it limits the rent increases to 7% per year. It does carve out some new construction. I mean, they're trying to incentivize new construction, but it really hits the small landlords much more dramatically because they have a lot of expenses that are out of their control, which they would not have the opportunity to recoup if, in fact, insurance and taxes and just utilities and some of those other things that would eat into whatever margin they might have. So, I'm still fundamentally opposed to it just because in the market, it seems like supply and demand should, dictate what the prices are. That's the way, rent has worked. So if we create more supply, we obviously would have an opportunity. You'd have that competition for filling those vacancies, and that's what drives prices down, is having an abundant inventory, which we do not have, even though the state has invested billions of dollars into public housing. So that's kind of where we're at. We'll probably have that debate maybe today. I'm not sure because we have a significant number of amendments that will have to be, worked through on the floor. And it may take, quite a bit of time just for the individual caucuses to discuss those amendments so that we have a good understanding of what legislation we're really trying to see come out of this debate.
Keith, what right now do you think are the chances of this passing? And, if it does in a form that you might be a little bit more amenable to?
Well, that's a really good question because it's really has been touch and go where there's enough on the D side that, are opposed to it. There are some, but because of the major margin that they have, they have to have quite a few of them. We have to have at least 7 or 8 of them that would not be in favor of this. So it will be somewhat modified because there have already been, a couple amendments that have changed the bill. But I still feel like, as I said, it's just a fundamental issue as far as business and, the private sector being able to control, what their outcomes are on a piece of property that they're offering to engage in a contract with someone to allow them to live in it. So I'm hopeful that we can get something passed that's much more favorable to those who have taken the risk to invest in these properties.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on the KPQ Legislative Hotline, part of the Morning Update for this Thursday edition, 10th of April. Keith, let's talk about some legislation that you have going still. As you told me before we jumped on air here, I believe you have four pieces that are sitting in committee right now. So what are the chances of those getting moving here and actually getting passed before the end of it all?
Well, I think they should all get passed because there are three of them are for local governments, and it really does provide protection for local governments. One has to do with, I think we've talked before about the FSEC, which is the energy siting of those projects. It does provide protections there. Another one has to do with middle housing in rural, in Lammerge, and which is the local areas of more intense rural development, and also urban growth areas, which is part of where the city would come. So, I mean, that's help would be helpful from a housing option standpoint. Then we have another one having to do with growth management, adoption of the comprehensive plans, which should have, good favor for the counties that are affected there. So I'm hopeful that they all get through because there are a number of local governments that are hoping that they can have this this support and help going forward.
All right, very good, Keith. Again, anything else going on in the legislature right now that you think would be interesting to the folks back here in District 12?
Well, we've had a couple of issues here in the last week or so with transparency, one having to do with the press, and in an effort to be more transparent, we've actually restricted access. And that's unfortunate because we used to have a lot of interest. And I appreciate you with the radio having interviews, and we have an opportunity to share what's going on. But the actual printed press, or even the what's now more of the social media type press, that's the only way that the daily things are getting out. And it's actually, we made some changes here in the last week or so that makes it more restrictive for people to actually get their press passes. And, the whole idea is to make people aware of what's going on, in the public. The other transparency issue, it has to do with the budget that, we will not see that budget until the very last day. They've assured us they'll give us 24 hours to look at $75 billion budget. So, it's really, it doesn't make for good legislation, but that's kind of the way the landscape is over here right now.
All right, very good. Again, Keith Gaynor, 12th District State Senator, joining us here today on the KPQ Legislative Hotline. He joins us every other week on our Thursday hotlines when we talk to our state senators here in the region. And Friday's joined by the representatives. We'll have, Brian Burnett and Mike Steele tomorrow on a Legislative Hotline. Keith, I appreciate the time. As always, great to talk with you. Thanks for the information. And we'll look forward to another chat here in a couple weeks when the sessions are, will be finished out by then.
Just about.
All right, very good.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Absolutely, Keith. Again, appreciate the time.